What is up, Wisconsin? Happy Election Day, everyone. I hope you're out there dealing with the somewhat inclement weather and getting into the voting booth. I was number 7 this morning at my polling place. Had a bright and early morning. We've got some of the candidates that will be joining us in the studio today. You're not going to want to miss a second of that. And of course, it wouldn't be opening day in Wisconsin without totally bogus weather that puts an absolute and literal damp, wet towel on everybody's tailgating and opening day celebration. I really got a big kick out of watching and listening to the Brewers' first 3 games against the Mets. Really enjoyed the controversy with the bench clearing and, of course, Hoskins getting nearly beaned, the suspension of the Mets manager, and then, of course, the sweep that occurred in New York. A really good start for the Brewers, I think, surprising a lot of folks. I really got a big kick out of watching it. Fun way to start the season off. We'll see what they do today. Hope you're staying warm and dry out there if you are hanging out in and around Miller Park. I know Anya and I hit a little traffic coming in from the downtown area. So drive safely, folks. Give everybody a lot of space as we navigate around the city this big election day and opening day. I mean, what else can we cram into a Tuesday here in Wisconsin? But I wanted to start totally off politics. We need a little breather. Many of you, if you're regular listeners, know that I'm an old has-been athlete. And back in the day, played a lot of basketball, played college rugby. I've boxed. What else? Softball, volleyball. You know, lob one up there. I've probably done a little bit of it. But played a lot of basketball. That was really my first love because I'm a ginormous person, 6 foot tall, with my bare feet. So played a lot of hoops growing up, and really it was my first love. And I have to tell you, Anya, watching what is going on in the NCAA women's basketball tournament and what is happening in women's basketball overall is just nothing short of miraculous for me. And I think so many female athletes out there are just so excited to watch. Frankly, the women's basketball tournament has been much more interesting to me than the men's thus far. Also, I mean, big shout out to NC State. Got both their men's and women's teams getting really deep in the tournament. Heartbreaking to see Marquette, my alma mater, lose to NC State. But man, I figured they must have tightened the rims down in Dallas for that men's Elite Eight game. Marquette couldn't hit a darn thing, only to be outdone in their poor shooting. But I believe it was Arizona the next day had 30 points scored on them without a single response basket. Anyways, I'm a big basketball junkie, been watching a lot of it. If you haven't been paying attention, how big is the rock that you're living under? Because Caitlin Clark, breakout star of Iowa women's basketball, has been breaking almost every conceivable women's basketball record. It was just incredible. And last night had 2 back-to-back games that had me shouting at the TV and just having a hell of a good time. It was the NC2A finals from last year, a matchup again with LSU Tigers, coached by the very controversial Kim Mulkey, against the Iowa Hawkeyes. Last year, LSU came out on top, led by Angel Reese, breakout star. This year, Caitlin Clark and her Iowa Hawkeyes coming out on top and headed to the Final Four. That game was then followed up by the USC-UConn matchup. USC hasn't been in the Final Four since Cheryl Miller was schooling everybody about how to play basketball back in the day. I'm a huge Cheryl Miller fan. If you don't know Cheryl Miller, she's the older sister of NBA superstar Reggie Miller. He has said in interview after interview that his sister Cheryl was basically a better basketball player than Reg was. And if you know Reggie Miller's storied history in the NBA, that is really saying something. Cheryl Miller played for USC, led them to 2 back-to-back NCAA championships in 1983 and 1984. Boy, it was great to see the Trojans back out on the floor battling for a slot in the Final Four, led by Juju Watkins. Man, I thought I had my bun game on point. But Juju Watkins, if you don't know her, she has the bun game and the ball game on point all the time. I don't know what Juju can't do. She's an incredible defender, incredible lateral movement, great body control when she goes up for jump shots, all kinds of finger rolls. Again, just really fun to watch her play basketball. And she is a freshman, folks. So USC basketball is here to stay, at least while Juju is around. She's been complimented by an incredible team, pretty young coach at USC as well. They were playing the UConn, I'm going to blank on the mascot. I believe UConn Timberwolves, UConn Wolves. Anyways, they were playing UConn. Basically, UConn has like a gold pass to the Final Four. I mean, their coach for UConn has been there for 39 years. He's been coaching the University of Connecticut women's basketball, one of the winningest coaches in NC2A women's history, basketball history. And again, UConn put on an incredible display last night, led by Paige Bueckers. Really just dynamic, exciting, engaging basketball. Here's what, if you haven't checked out any of that coverage or any of those games, go check it out. Because the thing to me that was almost as enjoyable as the games themselves was the commentary on ESPN. It was three women giving commentary: Elle Duncan, Chynea Gamica, and Andrea Carter. And they were awesome. It was so fun to watch women talking about women's basketball and doing so with so much enthusiasm and expertise. These women knew their stuff. The commentary was on point. So was the basketball. Again, those two games, I think, were two of the most dynamic, interesting, fun games of basketball that I have watched in a damn long time. If you missed it, go check out the highlight reels because you're missing something. Folks used to joke about, well, the WNBA, blah, 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 and, you know, insert all sorts of derogatory comments about women's basketball. That ain't the case anymore. With folks like Caitlin Clark, Paige Bueckers, Juju Watkins, Angel Reese, and this next crop of women coming on the heels of recently retired Sue Bird, one of the best point guards to ever play the game, the WNBA is where I think you actually see much more real basketball action. You can watch plays develop. You can actually watch defensive strategies. And guess what? They're running full tilt speed up and down the court. It's none of that NBA trotting. I don't know, what are they doing? I don't know, I just really enjoy the sport of women's basketball. It is really at its apex right now. I think only good things to come. I would highly encourage folks, if you got a WNBA team in that you are interested in, go get tickets, go check that out. It's such a dynamic game, and it is a different game than what you're seeing in the men's NBA. I think there's a lot more ego. I think there's a lot more ego management, all that kind of thing. Whereas the women's game is really played by teams. You can see that in both the offensive and defensive play calling. And again, just an absolute superstar lineup currently in the NBA. Of course, we've got Brittany Griner returning to the WNBA. So happy to see her back. Interesting note on Brittany Griner. She played for Kim Mulkey before Kim Mulkey moved to LSU. And one of the reasons that Kim Mulkey is so controversial is, well, she's kind of a jerk. I'll just say it. She's been quoted as saying all kinds of questionable things. She wants her players to look very ladylike and girly. She has been accused by some former players of having a real anti-gay bias. Very explicitly, she has basically flaunted the fact, oh, I might have COVID, but I'm not going to get tested. This is Kim Mulkey, women's NCAA D1 college basketball coach. And here's the thing that I find most disturbing about Kim Mulkey as a coach. And that is when Brittany Griner, who helped lead Kim's former team to the NCAA championship, when Brittany Griner was in Russia, Coach Mulkey didn't say a damn thing about it. And Brittany Griner helped put Kim Mulkey on the map, so to speak. Kim's been a great coach. She gets great results. I'm not going to denigrate her as from a results perspective, but the how matters, and her how sucks. And the fact that you wouldn't even say one word of support for one of your standout, top-notch, probably top 10 players that she will ever have the privilege of coaching. You can't say one word of support about Brittany Griner when she's being held in some sort of bizarro Putin-American chess game in Russia for months and months is just below a standard of dignity and care for players that I think any NC2A coach should have. Shame on you, Kim Mulkey. I'll also say this about Kim. Coach Kim, last night in the interview following that LSU-Iowa Hawkeyes game, she basically went, well, they've got Caitlin Clark. How offensive to your women, your young women that play for you. If it was all about Caitlin Clark, then why did you have them busting their butts to try to win that game, coach? It was sort of a complete lack of any ownership, and it really denigrated the contributions and the incredible game those young women put out on the floor for the LSU Tigers. I think Kim Mulkey needs to have her contract revisited by LSU, because this is not how you lead. You take ownership and accountability. You call it the well-played game by the Iowa Hawkeyes. You give Caitlin Clark her due, but you don't say, oh, well, they have Caitlin Clark. She sucks. I'm just going to say it. Kim Mulkey, you suck. You wear very interesting clothes. I'll give you, it's the
That's
best.
What I was going to say. That's the only reason I know the name Kim Mulkey is because I've looked
banging
up
outfits.
These outfits. Yeah.
I mean, the woman has walked out onto basketball courts in head-to-toe sequins. If you haven't
tiger
seen
sequins.
Tiger
suit sequins. Which, in heels.
It's a whole scene. It is a whole scene. Anyways, when we come back, we're going to be joined by two of my good friends, the gentlemen that are running for the city of Milwaukee's two top technocratic offices. And when I say technocrat, I say that with love and respect and fellowship, because I'm a big nerd. You're not going to want to miss our conversation. We're going to go deep, talk about Election Day, what we all should be looking for. I got Evan Goyke, current state rep, candidate for City of Milwaukee City Attorney, coming up next, as well as Bill Christensen, candidate for the City of Milwaukee Comptroller's Office. Don't worry if you don't live in Milwaukee. We're going to be talking about the big picture, folks. Keep it locked. I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show. We'll be back with more in just a moment if you've got questions for the gentleman. 855-75-CIVIC. 855-752-4842. Welcome back, Wisconsin. Happy Election Day. Happy opening day. It is the final countdown. I'm joined by two candidates for the top city offices, other than the mayor, who's going to cruise to re-election. I'll see you guys at Pottawatomie later. Little party party after your party parties, hopefully celebrating victories. I am joined by State Representative Evan Goyke, current candidate for the city attorney.
Hi, Maggie.
Hey, good to have you back.
Good to be back. Good to be on this side of the table.
Yes.
We had a lot of callers last week when I was a guest host, and they were...
Love it.
Unanimously begging for you to come back.
Oh,
it was a tough experience.
I seriously doubt that. I listened to part of your show, not the whole thing, but you did an absolutely wonderful job. Thanks for doing that.
Thank
sitting
you.
In the chair.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And I'm also joined by Bill Christensen, candidate for the City of Milwaukee Comptroller. Welcome, Bill. Good to have you back.
Thank you, Maggie. Really appreciate you having me on.
Heck yeah. So it's funny, both of you gentlemen I texted with to see if you had some interest in joining me here on Election Day, and you both said basically the same thing. I'm a ball of nerves. Yes, have me on the radio. It'll give me something to do. How are you feeling this morning, Bill?
You know,
this afternoon, I guess. It's 2 o'clock.
I'm feeling better than I thought I would. I thought I would be that ball of nerves, but I'm actually feeling okay. I was a ball of nerves up until sometime last week, and then I'm like, you know what? I've done everything that I can do. Not that I like took the pedal off the floor, but I've done everything that I can do, and I'm ready to just see the results. I'm feeling good, but you know, we'll see how things go.
It's pretty incredible. People that haven't been boots on the ground or volunteered for campaigns, it is really, there's just a lot of blood, sweat, and tears and person hours that goes into campaigning. the lit drops, the first getting all the signatures to get on the ballot, all the legalities, all the rules, the fundraising, the phone calls. Evan, how are you feeling this afternoon? You ready for this to be over?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not sure what day it is.
It's Election Day Tuesday.
Man, it is. I can't believe how calm Bill is. I've got all the anxiety for both of us. It was a great morning. I went to vote with my wife. We have our son who's about to be 3 years old, and we got to go he came with us, and it was a really cool, surreal experience. And he's similar to Bill. Feel like we've run the race. We've done the work, hoping for good results. I'm really ready for like 2 hours after the results.
Yeah.
Ice, gin, tonic, a little lime. Put my feet up. I'm ready for a little relaxation. And you know, I just want to finish and say, you know, the scariest thing. I talk to candidates all the time. They want to run for whatever school board, all the way on up. And the first time I ever meet with candidates that run for the first time, is I say, remember, the worst thing that can happen to you is that you win.
Yeah.
Because the truth is, Bill, if we win tonight, you know, that's the beginning, not the end. So tomorrow we got to get to work.
Yeah, it's really, we can think of Donald Trump, not to make any comparison amongst you gentlemen and Donald Trump, but it was very clear in 2016, the guy had really did not think he was going to win. And all of a sudden it's like, oh gosh, I got what I wished for. Now what?
Right, right.
It's been, I think, a long road for both of you. There are very interesting elements of both of your races in terms of your opponents. Bill, you're running against a guy who ran for mayor some nearly 30 years ago. I remember it well. Who had a bit of controversy on an October surprise, took Mr. Grotz right out of the running. Were you surprised to see Greg throwing his hat in? I think everybody around the city was.
I mean, to be perfectly honest, when I found out who I was running against, I didn't know who he was. I've been around City Hall for 14 years, and yep. I didn't have. So I had to Google him, and yes. It was just interesting what came up. And that's all I would say about that. But, I mean, I think I've relied on, when I'm out campaigning, I talk about my experience.
Yes.
You know, I've been with the city for 14 years, all in public finance roles, certified public finance officer, currently the deputy comptroller. So when you talk about the surprise, or, you know, yeah, like if you win, what are you going to do? And like, I know what
go
the
do
job
my job.
Yeah. So I think that's, I'm ready. I'm ready to step
I'm
in.
I'm glad you can leave the crap talking to on-air radio pundits. I'll tell everybody what the controversy around Greg Grotz, who again ran for mayor against John Norquist about, I think it's 29 years ago. I can't get the date exactly right, Anya, if you don't mind giving me a check on that. Greg Grotz, GRASCZ, ran against John Norquist, the mayor that preceded Tom Barrett, and basically was accused of sexual harassment and exposing himself about 2 weeks before the big mayoral runoff took Greg basically out of the running. It's interesting, some of the press coverage on your race, Bill, said nobody ever really got an answer following those allegations. Greg sort of just drifted off into the Netherlands. Not the country, but, you know, metaphorically. And there was no investigation. We never found out exactly what happened. He's denied the allegations. I don't want to make any sorts of conclusory statements. It was an accusation, and there was never any fact finding that was public on that, and he denied those. But just really interesting to see somebody off the bench from those many decades ago coming up again. And Greg was never a government finance wonk by any stretch. So I'll leave it at that. It was a head scratcher to me.
Yeah, I would say the same. We've had a couple of candidate forums, and the one thing I've learned is, you know, he talks a lot about potholes and a lot about public safety and a lot about lowering taxes. And I mean, I'm very familiar with the budget process and with what the role of the comptroller is, and there's just no opportunity for the comptroller to determine how much gets spent on potholes versus bike lanes versus anything else. I mean, that's not what we do in that office. So something that I try to correct the record when I can, but you know, that's only when we have the opportunity to sit next to each other and speak to people. We don't get that opportunity all the time. So I'm glad I have the opportunity now.
Well, heck yeah. And thanks, Anya. He ran in 1992. It's 32 years ago, so even more years than I tried to remember off the top of my head. You know, we talked, Bill, when you were first on the show, that what that demonstrates to me is that the person doesn't actually know what the job is.
Right.
Either they don't know what the job is, or they do know that the job has nothing to do with pothole policy, that you don't set public safety policy as the comptroller. Either they don't know, or worse, they do know, but what they're trying to do is sell people a bill of goods and some hocus-pocus political mumbo-jumbo to try to get a vote by describing what they can do inaccurately. So either you're intentionally misleading people, or you're a moron and don't actually understand what the job is. Either way, it's not a good look. My words, not Bill Christensen's. Evan, you also have an interesting opponent in your city attorney race, an incumbent. He's been on the job for 4 years. Again, highly controversial incumbent. How are you feeling about your chances?
I feel good. I feel confident. You know, we've both campaigned on a positive message of what we should do and what the office can do, but we've also sought accountability for what has happened over the last 3.5 years.
Yeah.
And if this is a referendum on Tierman Spencer's one and only term, I feel confident.
We're going to talk more with Evan Goyke, candidate for the City of Milwaukee City Attorney's Office, as well as Bill Christensen, candidate for the City of Milwaukee Comptroller's Office. Say that 5 times faster. Nobody can do it except for me. I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show. You got questions for the gentleman? Hit us up. Phone lines are open. 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. Keep it locked. Your farm update is next. I don't know about you, but these two guys were born to run. I'm joined this hour by Evan Goyke, candidate for the City of Milwaukee City Attorney's Office, as well as Bill Christensen, candidate for the City of Milwaukee Comptroller's Office. I was hoping we could talk a little bit about some of the oddities of campaigning that regular folk may have never been exposed to. And Evan, you and I were texting yesterday because this is one of these things that every time this happens with anybody that I know that's running for an office, I feel like I've regressed back to like the playground days when I hear about this stuff. But I had noticed, and we were talking about, a number of your lawn signs have gone suspiciously absented from lawns. And so if folks don't know, if you see your opponent's lawn sign in someone's yard, it's trespassing to go take that sign down. It is also illegal to place your own promotional electoral signs in public rights of way. So think like medians, right, at stoplights. And so with every campaign that I've ever known someone that's running, there is always what I'm going to call like the yard sign controversy. Like every campaign is a version of this. Tell us what the yard sign controversy is for you, Evan.
Well, first let me say, you know, we know it's inherently, it's true that yard signs don't vote.
Yes.
But there is deep, deep psychological warfare with
right.
yard signs. Because when you wake up and you see your opponents or you see your own, they really have, they have an impact as a candidate, just as a person running. So yeah, it's, you know, Mother Nature can take out yard signs. Suspiciously, some of mine were taken out the other day while others weren't. So I don't know if it was a very focused gust of wind
on one
of 3 yard signs. I doubt it. And then, yeah, I think this has been a campaign where my opponent, the incumbent, has, or his team has, I don't want to accuse him directly of doing this, but somebody on his team has put his yard signs in parks, in Lincoln Park, on the public median, you know, on the public kind of right away, right at the curb. And it's frustrating that the incumbent city attorney cannot seem to direct his campaign to follow the law and the ordinances of Milwaukee that his office prosecutes and upholds.
It's, I think the word we're desperately searching for here, gentlemen and ladies listening, is ironic that one charged with ordinance enforcement does not, in his own campaign, mandate that all of his supporters follow the ordinances about these kinds of things. And listen, we don't know who's doing this. It could be completely unaffiliated, had nothing to do with Mr. Spencer. But again, you know, that's when the elected official, especially as an incumbent, says to folks, don't do this. Stop doing that. And please remove.
And it's a huge waste of resources because of time, too. The city government will pick that up. I mean, it's their responsibility to pick up debris, litter, trash, and they'll treat a yard sign the same way. And so it's just a waste of materials, of money, and then of the time of public employees. We got better things to do than worry about, you know, chasing 100 yard signs in Sherman Boulevard.
Yeah, no kidding. I Tierman Spencer costing city taxpayers more money every day. I mean, that's sort of the slogan here. I said it. That's not Evan. That's me, Maggie Dawn, saying that. But in terms of the harassment lawsuits and allegations and the money lost in this, because city workers have to spend more time, the failure to defend cases vigorously, the failure to understand the mandate of the office, the wasting of time responding to numerous ethical complaints filed against Mr. Spencer in his official capacity for violating his duty of loyalty to his clients again and again and again. Tierman Spencer costing city taxpayers more money every day. That is his campaign slogan. And then not only do we have the inevitable yard sign controversy, which, again, if you've never been involved with campaigns, there's always some nonsense that goes on with the yard signs. But there's been a ballot controversy as well. The man's name is Tierman Spencer. But on the ballot, he isn't listed as Tierman Spencer. He's listed as T. Spencer. Why does this matter, Evan?
I spoke out about it because and tried to call attention to it because I think it is an attempt to confuse voters and to kind of hide an identity. We also have an uncontested city treasurer who served in that position for a long time, Spencer Cox. So you see the name Spencer and Spencer, and voters may get those two confused. Now, I want to get the entire record. Tierman Spencer did run as T. Spencer for alderperson in, I think, 2010 or 2012. But 4 years ago, he did not. You know, that was why I thought it warranted addressing publicly, because 4 years ago, his name appeared as, you know, his kind of full legal name, and now it's not. And what happened in between is, you know, a record that I think he's trying to camouflage. I think that warrants, you know, being called out and addressing publicly.
When you can't win on your record, steal the other guy's yard signs and change your name. It'll work every time. And to be really specific about what's going on here, the current city of Milwaukee treasurer is a guy by the name of Spencer Coggs. There is an alderwoman by the name of Malele Coggs. You may know the Coggs name if you're from southeastern Wisconsin, because the Coggs family has been sort of one of the first families of Milwaukee politics for a very long time. So it does strike me as worthy of note, if not criticism, and I'll go ahead and say criticism, for T. Spencer to not, after he used his full name, Tierman Spencer, in 2016, to all of a sudden omit the Tierman, potentially trying to, you know, garner a couple of votes if people just know that Spencer Coggs is the treasurer. Again, you put all these things together with the record that, if you're bored and have time, I suggest a little Googling. You can go down a rabbit hole that will take you days to get through all of the media about, frankly, the man's inability to do even a small modicum of what the job of city attorney is without stepping into an enormous pile of poo. It's pretty incredible, and not in a good way. So if you haven't yet voted and you live in the city of Milwaukee, I won't tell you how to vote. I'll just tell you how I'm voting. Evan Goyke for city attorney and Bill Christensen for city of Milwaukee comptroller. And that's not all when it comes to Mr. Spencer. One, he ditched the debate with you, no-showed it.
He did. He came to one.
But the one he did come to.
We had a miserable day like this a couple weeks ago when we had some snow. We did have a public forum, but the Milwaukee Bar Association, which is the lawyer association for Milwaukee, they had reached out about a public forum, specifically within the legal community, and you'd think. And I think historically, that's a venue where the city attorney candidates, judicial candidates, always show up. He did not participate.
So he ditches the Milwaukee Bar Association debate. Boo, bad form. Then he shows up for another candidate forum. And what does he say that was so eyebrow raising, Evan?
Well, there was a number of things. It was the first forum. We were each able to speak for 20 minutes without interruption. And this is a long soliloquy, poor audience members. But I think what was newsworthy from that forum was taking credit for something that didn't happen. I guess I don't even know the layers of fiction built into this. But in the forum, Mr. Spencer did inaccurately claim that there had not been any fatal police encounters over his term, which is not true. And then took credit for that falsehood based on a change in the policy of which his office handles police-involved federal civil rights lawsuits, a policy which the police department is not aware or wasn't told. And so it's unclear whether this was a true policy or not, or if it was ever written down. And it's, pretty clear that it did not have the actual outcome and impact that Mr. Spencer was claiming. And so my response is just it seemed to me, as someone in the audience listening and paying attention to what he was saying, that it was a claim that was, not researched, not properly.
It was a lie. I'll just step in here, Evan. Let me take this for you. So at this candidate forum, the one that he actually did show up for, I'm thinking of other slogans for Tierman Spencer. Tierman Spencer, the city attorney that will bring you to tears. Anyways, when he was at this candidate forum, here's what the guy got up and said. He said, "I changed the city attorney's policy on how we engage with the defense of qualified immunity. And since I've changed the city attorney's policy, there hasn't been a single police-involved civilian death-killing bad event." Here are the layers of lies. There's no policy change because the city attorney can't decide whether or not qualified immunity applies. It's part of federal law. The city attorney does not set federal law. So he's lying about his ability to impact that. There was never a policy change, least of which one that anyone knew about. So he's lying about that. He's lying about the fact that there was any sort of improvement or something that stopped or ceased to exist. Those facts don't exist. In fact, there have been police-involved shootings during Mr. Spencer's tenure. So unless he wants to claim that he somehow can control the entire Milwaukee Police Department and every officer and detective and command staff that works in the police department, which he cannot, I don't know what the hell this man is talking about. Does he? That's frankly what gets my blood boiling, is the man does not know what he is talking about when he talks about the law and the law that applies in municipalities. He is the only thing that outstrips or outpaces Tierman Spencer's ignorance of municipal law is his lack of managerial acumen. The man is unfit to be city attorney. I think he's unfit to be a freaking dog catcher. And, he's worried about pulling down other people's yard signs. Run on the issues requires you to know a little bit about the issues. This guy, Evan, you're far too generous because I have had it with this stuff. I've talked about, even yesterday, I had on a journalist that works for Wisconsin Watch. And one of the themes, and I talked about this with both of you gentlemen when you were on my show previously, is that it is really hard for regular folks to evaluate candidates for these sorts of technical positions, no matter where folks are from in the state. Like city attorneys or comptrollers, sometimes even village boards. It's hard to, who are these people? It's even harder when it comes to judges. And here's what. In every single one of these races, there are people that know. And I couldn't have said anything that I just said, Evan. I couldn't have talked about Mr. Gratz the way that I just did a few moments ago, Bill, if I was still doing my job in government. But this is one of the things that I hope in this time period that we get better at as a country and as citizens. And that is people that know, and you can disagree with my opinions. I don't mind if people, Darren Spencer's great. Great, that's your opinion. I've been offering you mine. But that the people that know, the people that have some of the expertise, that have seen these things up close, don't come out and speak more clearly about them to help people understand. I know what a comptroller's office did. My dad ended his career as the acting comptroller for the city of Milwaukee. Greg Gratz is no comptroller. He's a poor candidate at that. Bill, you'll do a fine job. My best to you.
Thank you.
I hope I see you at your victory party. Evan, Tierman Spencer is no city attorney. He's unfit to do the job because he doesn't understand what it is, and he has a poor grasp of the law. I would even argue that he's abused his office in many, many shapes and forms. My best to you, Evan Goyke. I hope that I get to celebrate with you at your victory party tonight. But I'm not the only one that knows. There are scores of people that know about these two men and have not come out publicly and called this stuff out. Now, there are folks that have. In my opinion, not nearly enough of them. If you have questions for Bill or Evan, now is your chance. 855-752-4842. If you want to tell me, I'm all full of it. Wet as it is, raining outside. 855-75-CIVIC. I'm Maggie Dawn. You'll be back. I'll be back after these brief messages. Keep it locked. More coming up next. It is election day. East from Lake Michigan, west to La Crosse and the Minnesota border, up there in the Apostle Islands, that's you two, and all the way down to Racine and Kenosha and Richland Center. Please get out there and vote. I did so bright and early this morning at the polling place at about 7:15. Running in because I had to get somewhere else really quick. We've been talking about races across the board. I've been using the city attorney's race in the city of Milwaukee, as well as the comptroller's race in the city of Milwaukee, to try to extrapolate some bigger points about being sure that everyday people can access the information that they need for some of these, what I'm going to call less sexy, more nerdy offices. And again, I say that with love and respect, gentlemen.
I felt that one.
Yeah, did you?
I really felt that one, Maggie. Yeah, no,
I hope you know that I'm identifying with you as less sexy,
this is more nerdy. Space.
Yes, okay. Turn up the wonk. To help people get the information that they need to actually evaluate candidates. And it's hard, and one of my things that constantly bothers me is that folks that know often don't speak out enough about both the pros of certain candidates, and I think you have both spoken extraordinarily well as to your qualifications for the offices, but also the failings of some of these incumbents and others that are candidates. And we're seeing this, again, it's a foil for what's happening on the national stage. You're seeing all of these folks from the former MAGA president that worked in his cabinet, his chiefs of staff, come out and say, this guy's unfit to be president. It doesn't seem to be making much of a dent in certain circles. But I'd like to think on a local level where people are much more plugged in, that knowledgeable folks speaking out can have more of an impact. Let's go to the phones, gentlemen. If you want to ask Evan or Bill a question about what they do now, what they're going to do if they get elected, or about these crazy ways that we pick our leadership called the electoral process here in Wisconsin, give us a call, 855-752-4842. Susan, welcome to the Maggie Dawn Show. Say hello to Bill and Evan. What's your question?
Hi, guys. It's nice to have you on. I actually have a question that relates kind of in a way. I've been trying to, yesterday I spent a lot of time trying to get the records or the judicial philosophy of some judges that are running in the Dane County area. And it's so hard to find anything because it always gets me back to the, you know, the state site. And I really am trying to find a way that I can really, because I, well, sorry, I read the stuff in the League of Women Voters on them. But a lot of times that's just canned responses to questions because they want you to vote for them. So the way I look at it, I'd really like to figure out how I can really find out what these, you know, like the municipal court at, or the circuit court and the appeals court, the candidates, I would really like to get to know them. One I knew really well, Joanne Kloppenberg, but the others I didn't have much. And I just would really like to be able to drill down because listening to you, I understand how important this is because these are people who are making decisions every day for people's lives.
I really appreciate the question, Susan. Here's a good place to start. Go check out candidates' LinkedIn. If they don't have one, why not? That's weird to me. If they don't have a LinkedIn, you can you could inquire of their campaign, which won't help you for today, Susan, but you can inquire of their campaign. Hey, what's their resume? Can you tell me where they've worked before? One thing that I look for, especially when it comes to judicial candidates, is what actual lawyering have they done? I go to, or will look, you can call up a law school library, University of Wisconsin-Madison or Marquette, and say, how would I find if this person has written any articles? Not necessarily law review, which are very academic, but have they written any articles? Can you find decisions that they may have written? What cases have they litigated? Those are also fair questions if you can't find the answers to pose directly to the campaigns. Remember that there are justices that currently sit on our own Supreme Court who basically wrote homophobic screeds when they were in law school. And you can find that stuff. It does take a bit of digging. So look at their social media presence. Look at what they promote, what they post about. That's where you stick, because people do that kind of reflexively, right? Oh, it's late. I'll put something out on whatever. I would look at all of their socials, not just their campaign social media, but try to find their personal one. Look at their LinkedIn. Ask for their resume. Ask for their work history. What cases have you litigated? Whom have you worked for? Because those of us, especially when it comes to lawyers who have done legal work and done it in complex environments, I say tend to make slightly better judges. It may silly me, perhaps, but
it is your call, Susan. Is it's so accurate? It's very hard, especially for judicial candidates who will write very disciplined responses to the questionnaires, where they're gonna try to be as objective, and you know they'll write 100 words without saying anything at all. And what I was thinking about when I listened to your comment, and as I've been listening to Maggie have us non-sexy nerds on, is how grateful of a forum like Civic Media, because we've seen such an erosion of local newspapers and a consolidation of newspapers, and there just is so little coverage of local races, and it's really too bad. It really is too bad. It really hurts our democracy when we don't have the ongoing coverage of local campaigns, and then how they serve in office.
Yes. You know? I one thing that I'm going to be working with Anya and folks here at Civic is trying to expand my knowledge base and my connections to upstate and outstate and west of the state to try to get more candidates to come on the show to have this little bit of Q&A. I mean, I should host a freaking judicial forum in every jurisdiction that has contested circuit court and appeals court races. Because guess what? I actually want to see judges debate, not necessarily each other, but I need to be able to ask some follow-up questions. And I believe voters and citizens deserve to hear the follow-up questions from someone who's a good, well-trained lawyer to ask some of the follow-ups. I think comptroller candidates need to have that kind of vigorous debate. The city attorney candidates. Maybe we can get a little something going here at Civic Media. Hey, come and let's actually dig in. Because if you're afraid to do that, then you don't have any business putting your name on the ballot, in my opinion. Bill, last words as we go off into the sunset on this election day.
Well, I'd like voters in the city of Milwaukee to consider choosing somebody who has the experience, the credentials, serving as deputy comptroller, been number two in the office, Been with the city for 14 years, all in public finance roles. I've got the support of Mayor Johnson, of the current comptroller, the two former comptrollers, about half the common council. And they're supporting me because they've seen the work that I've been able to do. They respect the work that I've done in City Hall over the last 14 years. It's not my politics. It's not who my friends are. It's they respect the work that I've done. And I think trust the people that that you trust, you know.
Wonderful. Best of luck to you, Bill. We're going to come back with Evan a little bit after the top of the hour. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show. Keep it locked. Sports, weather, and news are next.